taking a breath or two or three, allowing our mind and soul and spirit and body to all be in the same place at the same time, becoming aware of the presence that not only surrounds us, it fills us. It truly is what we are, this presence of life, of spirit, of God, this power that flows through our veins and flows through our heart and our mind in so many ways. This power that exists in every single part of the world, everywhere we look, all the way down to the tiniest atom, the tiniest particle, to the farthest galaxies we could imagine. This power is completely present in every place. It has no space and no time, yet it fills all space and is all time. And we are a part of it. Each one of us, as a spiritual being, is an individual expression of this power, and we recognize that this morning. We recognize that we have the ability to create. We can create in our own life as individuals. We can create in the world as one, as we work together with others and all recognize our commonality, our common spirituality. So we recognize that all the things that exist in the world have been created. They have been created by thought, whether it's the thought of the one spirit, the one mind, or the thought of that one mind working through us. So all the good that exists in the world, all the love, all the compassion, all the kindness, all the generosity, all the health and wholeness, all of these things come from spirit, but the other things come from that too. We recognize that the mistakes that we create, the ideas of war or anger or conflict or illness or lack, that these are also ideas that have been created from thoughts that are not in harmony with spirit. So by shifting our thoughts, shifting our beliefs, by allowing ourselves to feel from within that something better can exist, we stop creating the old, we stop creating those things that do not serve us, and we begin to create something better. We create something better in the world, and we create something better in our own life. This is the power that we have been given. Recognizing this truth, accepting it completely for ourselves, we give thanks for what we have been given and what we have yet to give. We give thanks for the presence of spirit in us and every other person. We give thanks for the ability to create the life that we have. We give thanks for life itself, for this precious gift that we have been given. Knowing this truth and accepting it into consciousness, we now release this knowing into the world. Our word goes forth and creates that which is like itself. We release it into the world, and so it is. When I was a young boy, my grandfather, my mother's father, he and my grandmother lived across the street from us in Florida, and he fancied himself as a philosopher of sorts, as most grandfathers do. I'm sure a few of you can identify with that. He used to have one saying in particular, and he had a lot of them, that drove me crazy. Whenever I would complain that what happened yesterday was better than what was happening today, or whenever I would insist that I couldn't wait until tomorrow, I was so excited for something that was going to happen, like a baseball game we were going to or something, he would sit there and he wouldn't raise his eyes from the newspaper or the television. He would just sit there and he would say to me, you know, yesterday today was tomorrow, and tomorrow today will be yesterday. And he stopped, okay? That was supposed to explain everything. Now, as a 10-year-old boy, I did not consider that to be very helpful information, need to tell you. But from what I know today, if he had taken the time to explain what that saying meant, assuming he understood what it meant, and if I had been able to understand what he told me, it might have made a very positive difference in my life over the next 20 or 30 years until I got into this teaching. Because, just like a few of you, I wasted a lot of time and energy during those years focusing my attention somewhere besides where I was and worrying about things that I couldn't control. I did that for a long time. Now, in The Science of Mind, what we call our textbook, the book written by Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching, if you're new, it is on page 432, because somebody always asks. So, you know, write it down if you're one of those. Dr. Holmes says this. It's a short paragraph. He says, "Have no fear of tomorrow. Enjoy today. Refuse to carry the corpse of a mistaken yesterday." Ooh, don't you love that? "What untold misery is suffered through the burdens imposed by our yesterdays and the bitter prospects of our tomorrows. The good of the present day is often sandwiched between these two impossible situations. The day in which we live is sufficient. We are to live today as though God were in heaven while all is well with our souls." Now, I know that sounds a little religious at the end, but even Dr. Holmes got carried away with himself as a preacher every so often. But what he's saying here is, most of our unhappiness with the world exists for one of two reasons. Either we are angry or resentful or remorseful or ashamed about something that happened in our past, or we're worried or afraid about something that we think is going to happen in the future. But today is rarely the problem. In fact, if someone came up behind us and tapped us on the shoulder while we were busy being angry about yesterday or worried about tomorrow, and they asked us how things are going right now in the present moment, the answer, once we thought about it, would probably be, "Well, you know, right now, I'm fine. Right now, I'm okay." And that's usually true. Because in the present moment, right where we are, there is almost never a problem. You see, something we fail to realize is that the problems in our life, those things that happened yesterday, and only the yesterday things are problems. If they're problems for tomorrow, they haven't happened yet, if you figure that out, so they're not problems. Think about that one. Okay. The things that happened in the past, the problems that we remember so well, probably happened fairly quickly. Either our partner or our spouse walked out, somebody broke up with us, we lost some money, we got fired, we had a car accident, whatever it happened to be. Even physical problems in our life usually only last a limited amount of time unless we adopt them and give them a name, which a lot of people tend to do. Of course, the residual stuff around our problems, by which I mean the drama and the whining and the blame and the remorse and the upset, all that stuff may last for years, but the event itself probably didn't take that long. And as far as tomorrow goes, a fairly large percentage of things that we worry about in the future never happen. Never happen. Or if they do, they rarely end up being as bad as we thought they were going to be. So if we are honest about it, most of what occupies our mind on a regular basis comes from our own dramatic embellishment of either brief or non-existent events from two time periods that do not actually exist, yesterday and tomorrow. That's what I want to talk about today. Now, when I say that yesterday and tomorrow don't exist, I want you to understand I'm not saying that yesterday never happened or that tomorrow is never going to come, because we live in a universe which has certain physical laws, and one of the laws that we participate in is something that we call time. Now, if you read what Einstein wrote or if you read any of the current writings on quantum physics, you probably know that time is a lot more elastic than we once thought, and a lot of it's in our perception. In fact, some physicists go so far as to say that time is an illusion. They say it's a mental construct that we've adopted to keep everything from happening at the same time. And they may be right, but I'm still not going to give away my wristwatches, you know, because I'm still living in this world of time. So for today's purposes, let's take a much simpler approach. Let's just agree that time is our way of arranging the moments of our life in some sort of linear progression so that we can get our mind around what happens in our life and see a cause and effect relationship between the things we do and the things that come after. So at the most basic level, time allows us to see how the decisions we made yesterday or the day before created the situation that we are in today, and how our reaction to our situation today will affect what our experience tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That's the way that most people look at it. The problem with this way of thinking is, once again, that yesterday and tomorrow have no power in and of themselves. Because what happened yesterday is over and done, the facts can't be changed, and tomorrow does not exist at all. It is pure potentiality, as Deepak Chopra used to call it. Tomorrow is kind of an empty slate waiting to be written upon. But from a purely spiritual perspective, and by spiritual I mean the creative power, the invisible creative power behind the physical appearance that we see, from a purely spiritual perspective, yesterday and tomorrow do exist, but they only exist in one place, and that is in our mind. That is in our consciousness. So that's what my grandfather was really trying to tell me. And once we figure that out, and I'm going to expand on that, once we figure that out, that yesterday and tomorrow only exist in our consciousness, everything changes. Everything changes because we then become the conscious creators of our own past, present, and future, both the events and everything in the world around us, instead of being the helpless or unconscious victims of the world that we see. You see, because we perceive our life as this constant flow, uninterrupted flow, and because we almost never pay attention to what we are thinking while that flow is going on, the average person's thoughts drift aimlessly between today, tomorrow, and yesterday, but mostly in the past and the future. We are always thinking and feeling in the present moment, because that's where we always are. We can't be anywhere else. But most of our thoughts are about events that took place elsewhere outside the present. We see yesterday as the cause of today and today as the cause of tomorrow, and we see ourselves as simply the carrier of those thoughts and the experiencer of the events. Time's going along and we're just along for the ride. But that unbroken chain of causation that we think we see is no more a smooth and constant flow than a movie that we see on the silver screen. In fact, a movie is an excellent example. You see, when we go to a movie, how many people have been to a movie or seen one on TV within the last couple weeks? Okay, great. When we go to a movie, we see a story from beginning to end. And we laugh or we cry. We may get angry. We may get frightened. We may get, we fall in love, whatever it is, watching the story. If it's a good movie, we leave the theater feeling entertained. And if it's a great movie, like Gandhi, I saw that the other day, we might be profoundly affected or even transformed. And when we walk out of the theater, the two-hour story that we just saw, including the characters with all of their depth and all of their issues that we loved or hated, or the emotions that we felt while things were going on, those things remain in our mind in such a way that we can describe all the details of the movie to a friend. We can call them up and say, let me tell you this story about this movie I just saw. But from a purely technical perspective, what we actually just saw was not that story. What we saw was about 57,000 snapshots arranged in a specific sequence, flashed onto a flat screen one after another at a speed that fooled our mind into thinking that something was really happening. That's what we actually saw. So neither the film nor the projector nor the screen had any attachment to the story, and they had no emotional content. So the movie that appeared on the screen out there was where it was, but the story that we saw that affected us so powerfully actually occurred completely in here, completely in our mind and in our heart. That's why when you and your date go and spend, you know, $20 to sit in a dark room and stare at flashing lights going across the screen, one of you starts crying while the other one goes asleep, you know, because we're perceiving it differently, all right? Chick flicks, right? Okay, now. Now, let's apply that piece of information to our everyday life. Now, normally, I think of my life as a nonstop story flowing from one event to the other. But what if I made an effort, stay with me here, what if I made an effort to see my past and my future as individual snapshots, simply events that happened, that I choose instead of concrete events that the world is trying to force me to accept? And not only can I choose the snapshots, I can also choose how much emphasis each one gets and how long each one stays in my consciousness. That way, instead of watching somebody else's movie, I create my own. Now, the reason this is important is because most people use their memories of yesterday and their thoughts about tomorrow to define who they are. Only instead of consciously choosing which thoughts and memories occupy their mind, they focus on the ones that they have always focused on in the past, or they focused on the ones in the future that seem to frighten them the most. For some strange reason, most people don't like to focus on brand new thoughts or inspirational thoughts or even pleasant memories. They focus on the worst things that ever happened to them instead of the best. If you ask somebody to tell you about their life, they will not tell you a whole list of good things that happened. They'll tell you the other stuff. Or they focus on the most frightening possibilities for the future instead of the most exciting. That's why so many people define themselves in the present as a cancer survivor, or a victim of childhood abuse, or an adult child of alcoholic parents. That's why they describe their future in fearful or negative terms, seeing tomorrow as some potential disaster that they might have to deal with, rather than a fantastic possibility that's ready to happen. Unfortunately, that kind of thinking keeps them from using the power of the present moment to release the past and create their own future, which is something we are all able to do. Now, in order to get to this better place in consciousness, which is the point of this talk, there are a few things that we are going to have to do. Now, in most cases, whenever we're dealing with spiritual growth, I always like to talk about awareness. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, an awareness of what God is, an awareness of what we are, an awareness of how the world works. But in this case, I think there's something we need to do first. Because the emphasis on the significance of yesterday and tomorrow that the world has is such a universal obsession that I think we need to find a way to remove ourselves from the race consciousness that holds the past and the future so firmly in our mind. Now, I know this sounds a little bit strange, but in one sense, from a spiritual perspective at least, I believe that we need to figure out how to step outside this flow of time, both mentally and spiritually. In other words, we need to stop thinking in terms of yesterday, becoming today, becoming tomorrow, and focus our attention where it belongs on today. Only instead of just being in the present, like a lot of the New Age people tell us that we need to begin creating from the present. Creating from the present, which is a much more constructive and effective way to live. So the first thing we need to do today is to create a better yesterday. Now, most of the world doesn't think we can do that, but they're wrong. That's why we need to stop paying attention to what the rest of the world says. That's why we need to remember what I said a few minutes ago when I said that the movie that we see only exists in here. So our life is sort of like watching home movies of our childhood. We may be watching them today, but our thoughts and our emotions seem to be transported back in time. They aren't really. They're still in the present, but that's what it feels like because our memories are so powerful. So when we begin to take complete responsibility for what we remember and how we remember it, we're going to be amazed at how different our attitude in the present will be. But before we can do that, we need to deconstruct our stories. We need to deconstruct our stories. Everybody know what your stories are? Okay. Because our stories are what are keeping these old unpleasant memories fixed so firmly in our present thinking. Now, those of you who have been through class, the first year of class, may recall when we made the statement talking about memory, that a memory is a present thought about a past experience. A memory is a present thought about a past experience. We can't have past thoughts because our mind only exists now. We can only have present thoughts about the past. But these random thoughts about our past won't stay with us unless we give them some support, unless we give them something to hang on to. That's why we make our memories into stories which may or may not be true. So when we string our memories together into a story where we were the victim, or where we were right and someone else done us wrong, whatever it happens to be, and we become attached to that story then becomes our reality. But if we get rid of the story, if we dissolve the framework of the story and stop justifying or rationalizing how our parents treated us so badly, or why we never had any money, or why the world has always been against us, once we do that, then we stop identifying with who we were yesterday and we start allowing ourselves to be who we are today. We start to see the negative events in our past as something that happened to someone else, which is essentially true because hopefully we have a better consciousness today than we had then. So we are not actually the same person as we were then. Or another way of saying it is, when we stop trying so hard to be the same person we were yesterday, we create the opportunity to become a new and better person today. It's another way of saying it. Now, that brings up an interesting point. If we're supposed to get rid of our stories, does that mean we should get rid of our good stories too? All I can say to that is, it depends. It depends. You know, a story is a story. Good memories, good stories are a wonderful thing. But if we find that our good stories are, whoa, what hell? What the hell? Oh, I'm falling apart here. Okay. If we find that our good stories are holding us back, stand by. There we go. If we find that our good stories are holding us back, we may need to let them go too. I once knew a woman who had a wonderful marriage with the man of her dreams, something many of us would like to have. Unfortunately, after only 3 years of marriage, he died in an automobile accident. And for the next 20 years, she was so immersed in her wonderful memories of her 3 years with this man that she couldn't leave room for someone else. So she was living in yesterday, and until she decided to move into today, she could never create a better tomorrow. That's the sequence. So let's talk about, we talked about creating a better yesterday, now let's talk about creating a better tomorrow. A few weeks ago, I talked about how our expectations create our experiences, and that's part of it. Whatever we expect, if we expect problems, that's what we create. But the truth is, most of the problems with our future do not come from a deliberate desire to create problems. Most of us are smarter than that. Everyone wants tomorrow to be better than today. That's just sanity. Our greatest difficulty in creating a better tomorrow comes from our lack of openness. We want things to be better, but we're not open to change. We're not open to the possibility that our old way of doing things isn't working anymore. We're not open to the possibility that we make mistakes, we may get bumped or bruised a little bit in the process of trying something new. We're not open to the possibility of losing a little money, looking a little silly, maybe getting our heart broken. We are not open to miracles. We are not open to miracles. You see, when every day we strive to be certain about what's going to happen tomorrow, it gets boring, and boredom is a spiritual disease. That's why we have to teach ourselves to be open to new things happening so we can create a space where this infinitely creative mind can play, and we can play along with it. So we don't have to justify everything we're going to do tomorrow, especially not to a world that has no idea what it wants or what it can do. You know, we don't have to have a reason to do something different tomorrow or different from what we did yesterday, and we don't always have to know how everything is going to turn out. If we learn how to do what we do today, both in our thoughts and our actions, and we do it from the deepest, most spiritual, most powerful, and most intelligent place that we can find, then what shows up tomorrow is going to reflect the energy of that kind of a consciousness. But if we don't, tomorrow's going to look a lot like yesterday. If we refuse to love someone today because we're afraid tomorrow we won't feel the same, our ability to love is never going to grow. If we squeeze every dollar today, if we're afraid to be generous because we're afraid we won't have enough tomorrow, then our prosperity will never grow. If we stay in the same job just because we have insurance and a company car, our creativity will never grow. You know, the funny thing is, not only does tomorrow not exist yet, for some of us, it may never come at all. You know, read the obits. There's people checking out every single day. We have no guarantees. The good news is, if today we are looking at a higher level, if we are looking up to the hills from whence our help cometh, that wonderful statement in the Proverbs, if we are doing that, and if we follow our vision, then wherever we end up tomorrow, we're going to have to be in a higher place. So here's a little refresher, okay? Here's what I want you to do this week, if you're so inclined. Here's the question, or rather three questions. First of all, this is a question for yourself. What stories from your past are taking up unnecessary space in your mind? That's the first question. Second, what are you afraid might happen tomorrow, or what are you afraid might not happen tomorrow? And third, how are you doing today? How are you doing in the present? And this is where the awareness part of our spirituality comes in. We have to be aware of what we are thinking if we intend to change what we're thinking. So it might help to find a quiet place and write down your answers to these questions. Or get with somebody that you trust and ask each other these questions. You might be surprised at the answers you hear both from them and from you, but it's definitely worth the effort. Because once we get clear about the answers to these three questions, then we can stop being who we have always been and stop trying to become who we think we're supposed to be, and we can start being who and what we are, which is a perfect expression of life's desire to grow. That is what we are. That's how we take the lessons of yesterday, combine them with the power we have today, and create a tomorrow that we can actually look forward to. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Oh. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay. Take a breath or two. Roll your head around on your shoulders. Relax a little. Take the ideas that resonated. Set the others aside for later. And let's recognize that we live and move and have our being in the now, in the present. We have the power to change our life in a moment's notice. We have the ability to take the entire chain of our life that has gone up till today and to cut that chain and to start a brand new one today. Everything that happened before this moment is in the past, and this moment we can begin from a brand new place. We also recognize that where we are going will change based on the direction we decide to move today. This is the spiritual power that we have, the power to choose what to release and to choose the direction where we want to go. Once we recognize that we have been given this gift and that there is no power out there that's going to release our past for us or tell us which direction to go, and we realize that the presence of the power is already in us, then we can begin to create the life that we desire. Every problem that we have in this moment does not exist in this moment. It is just our thoughts about it, and we are able to change those whenever we like. So I invite you to take a few moments now in the silence of your own heart and mind. And in this silence, for a minute or so, allow yourself to take anything that is going on in your life right now that is causing you pain, that is causing you concern or confusion. Simply look at it in front of you. Release all the history that's attached to it. Release any expectation of what it's going to look like tomorrow. And simply be in the present and see everything as being perfectly all right. Take these few moments for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, of the power we have to choose, of the power we have to create, of the power we have to use what we have been given to create the life we desire, we give thanks. We accept it completely. We have faith and confidence in our own ability, knowing that our ability is simply the expression of spirit as us. With a deep appreciation for this awareness, we accept it completely and we release it into consciousness, knowing that this is our truth from this moment forward, and so it is.